Amen. Well, we are closing out our series this week called A Job Well Done. And one of the things I appreciate about disciples is, during the week we work, and then on Sundays we get taught all about how to work even harder. Amen. But we've been looking at, for those of you who haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how we've been called as disciples to work in God's vineyard. That God's got all this work for us, and sometimes it's hard because the job description, you kind of read the Bible and part of it's there, but each one of us has a slightly different job description. And so, as disciples, we're trying to figure all of these things out. But we looked at how God's work for us is our real work. And I always appreciate it, and I remember very clearly George Niyawadi telling me this once. We were having coffee and we were talking, and I was like, man, you've got a busy work schedule. And he said, James, but the thing for me is kind of work is work and it's busy, but the real work that I enjoy is kingdom work. And I just appreciated that so much, because that's really the spirit of a disciple is, hey, there's things going on and, we need to put food on the table, but kingdom work is what it's all about. And we looked at how God equips us and how God doesn't kind of, just send us out to do work, but he gives us different things, different abilities, and, we're available at different times, and we have different experiences that we can share. And sometimes we get put into scenarios where we don't have the necessary skills. We are not available. We have no experience. And then kind of attitude kicks in. And we look at Jesus where, here is Jesus, the Son of God, making himself a slave for us. And, just that wonderful example of, hey, when it comes to kingdom work, there's no excuses. If God says, this is what I want you to do, then we need to trust that it's possible and that it's okay. And I appreciate the students this morning. If you stick your head out the window, you'll see some of them scrubbing away at your cars. And it's it's great to see the opposite of excuse making. We looked at kind of a little graph last week how, one of the things about the youth is they they've got the energy, they've got the time, don't have the money. And so, hey, we're going camping. And it's like, hey, I love camping. I'm energized. I want to go away. I want adventures, but I don't have the money. And it's just great to see, hey, listen, let's do what we can in order to make things happen. And I think it's wonderful. And we've been looking a little bit about how, we've all got these different jobs, and God has equipped us all differently to do these jobs. And there's a little bit of a kind of a tension that happens here, because, when you get a whole bunch of people all equipped totally differently, all doing totally different jobs, what you usually get is chaos. Okay, that's kind of what happens if you send everyone off in their own direction to do things. And so there's one important element that we're going to close out this series looking at, which kind of allows us to make sense of the fact that we're all different and we've all got different jobs in God's kingdom. And yet the goal is not chaos, but great unified work. And that's teamwork. The idea that this is camp last year, okay, some smiley faces, most of them were just putting it on after not sleeping much. No, I'm just teasing. But there's just something about disciples being unified, being very different, but still being together. That's just so wonderful, and it's just so, so powerful. And so the title of today's lesson is Better Together. Have a look in Nehemiah chapter 3. I know sometimes we kind of flash all the scriptures on the projector. Today we will be reading from our Bibles, okay? I know sometimes you kind of flick to the page in your Bible and then all of a sudden it's up on the screen. You're like, man, why did I even bring it? But we're going to be looking from the book of Nehemiah. And what had happened was, kind of just to give a bit of context to what we're reading, the city of Jerusalem was completely flattened a couple of hundred years before Jesus. We're talking about hundreds of years before the Roman Empire even. And what had happened was, it had been, something that had been coming on for a while, and God had kind of warned his people, listen, you guys have gone after all kinds of other things. I mean, I've asked you to love me with all of your heart, and you started worshiping other gods, and, things got hectic, and eventually the Babylonians came in, before that the Assyrians came in, and Jerusalem was flattened. Now, for the Israelites, this was the promised land, and Jerusalem was kind of the center of the promise. And so it was a big, big deal. And many Israelites were exiled to different places. And what happened was that, kind of a generation had passed by. We're talking about 80 years. And many of the Jews were in exile, and they knew and had heard that the walls of Jerusalem 80 years later had not been rebuilt. And the book of Jeremiah talks about one such man by the name of Nehemiah. And he, he wasn't even there when Jerusalem got destroyed. But he knew of its legacy. He knew of its importance. And when he heard about these walls being, broken down or remaining in ruins, it just broke his heart. He wept. It burdened him. And he basically kind of took it upon himself to organize a kind of an expedition to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it's not a very long book. If you've never read the book of Nehemiah, it is just amazing. I think it's, it's 12 chapters or so. And it's just a very, very powerful read. And what happened was, for 80 years, these walls were in ruin. And Nehemiah was able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. We're talking about no earth-moving equipment, no bulldozers, just phenomenal. And here's a picture of, it's a little bit shadowy, but when we were in Jerusalem, they've kind of excavated part of the original wall during the time of Nehemiah, or kind of after the rebuilding. And, I mean, it's difficult to kind of get a scale, but we're not talking about two bricks wide wall here. We're talking about a massive, that is a cross section of the wall. Again, it's kind of, it's not easy to see here, but this is a huge, huge wall. 52 days. I mean, even with modern techniques, you try and build a house or a building in just over a month. It's just quite phenomenal. And look, they had certain things going for them. Okay. God was on their side. Okay, that's a big one, and you certainly see that. And then you also see that Nehemiah was a very gifted leader. Now, he wasn't just kind of any guy. I mean, he was amazing. I tell you what, you read that and you think, man, this is the people's politician. He loved the people. He took care of them. He didn't he didn't place himself above them. And yet at the same time, he was very strategic. He was hardworking. He was visionary. I mean, just an amazing, amazing leader. And even though the book really focuses a lot on, or is titled Nehemiah, and he's kind of the central character, I think you'll see from what we're about to read now that, and I think Aristotle was the first guy to kind of come up with this phrase, is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And I think what we see is that even though Nehemiah was such a central figure, that the whole rebuilding effort was just this amazing feat of teamwork. Have a look in Nehemiah 3, verse 1. It says that Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. And again, already you kind of get a little picture of what's going on. So kind of, you know, chapter 1 and 2, Nehemiah's getting everything together and, you know, checking out the land. And then Nehemiah 3, what you have is people started working. And the high priest, I mean, if you read the Old Testament, the high priest was not the guy kind of, you know, setting doors. You know, he wasn't the guy kind of, you know, placing bricks. And yet here he is building the walls. It says the men of Jericho. I mean, Jericho is a town far in walking distance, far away from Jerusalem through the Negev Desert. And yet these guys are there building a section, and it says Zachar building a section. I don't know if it's related to Zach. Okay, his ancient relatives from Israel. Okay, and you know the sons of Hassanah building the section. I think it's just so clear as you even start to read this that if we want to do great things for God, then we got to get busy together. Then we got to kind of we got to be busy. We got to be a team. We got to get our hands dirty. Have a look in verse 8. It says there, Uzziel, son of Harahijah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section. And Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Again, you kind of, okay, you know, the men from Jericho, it sounded like they were tough guys. Then you have a goldsmith and a perfume maker building a section. I don't know about you, but kind of, you know, when I think of who would be the obvious choice to be rebuilding the wall, perfume maker doesn't just kind of spring to mind. And, you know, I don't know how you kind of would picture a perfume maker, but I wouldn't picture a perfume maker looking like this. And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned from Nehemiah and just reading about this rebuilding of the wall is that sometimes we can just overanalyze things. We're like, well, I don't know if I'm the right person for the job, or I don't know if this is really what I want to do. And we can get so caught up in that instead of saying, hey, there's a wall to be built. I'm building. I'm taking my section and I'm going to just get in there. And that applies to all kinds of things. I mean, it applies to Kids Zone. Are you the most qualified person for the job? Most probably not. But one of the things I appreciate week in and week out is I appreciate weary eyes. As you kind of walk into Kids Zone and look, you know, to some of us, our kids, you know, they give us a bit of energy. And sure, it's tiring, but you know, if kids give you energy and you're kind of an out of yourself kind of person, you kind of, you know, you get through it and it's like, oh, I'm tired, but that was great. If you are not like that, then you have weary eyes. And I mean, there's so many wonderful people right now looking after our kids, not because they have, you know, teaching degrees or, you know, all of that. But they're just getting stuck in because our kids need them. And it's just wonderful to see it. I think even things like camping, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a kind of a polarizing topic, like camping. But you know, it's, you know, when disciples get together out of their comfort zone, there's just a buzz. There's just something exciting. And, you know, I really want to encourage you, you know, if you're not able to go camping, you're not going camping, try and make a plan to get out there for Sunday morning. It was wonderful last year. We're all around a big kind of campfire, and young Cedric, who had only just come to Cape Town from Gauteng, he led a communion thoughts, and we sang some songs, and it was just like, wow. You just can't replicate that in Para High School. And and I want to speak to all of those, or to those of you who are getting a little bit older, okay? And let me qualify that, over 20, okay? Any of you over 20, I want to remind you of something, and you must probably know this already, but I'm going to remind you, okay? Some of your best memories come from when things didn't work out so well. And it's kind of one of those things, oh man, it rained the whole weekend, it was a disaster. But you talk about it and you even boast to your friends about it. It's just kind of, it's one of those things that some of the best, most bonding memories come from difficult times. And you know what? With age, it's so easy to become a perfume maker. Where, and I apologize to any of you who are perfume makers, but it's so easy to become the perfume maker that didn't go and build the wall. To be the perfume maker who said, you know what, you know, that is for them and this is for me. And again, it's just one of those things. It's just so much better when you decide not to do that. When you decide not to kind of restrict yourself by who you are, but just make that decision, man, better together. And, you know, Maura and I, we've got busy lives like you do. And there are many times when we drive to a church service, drive to a midweek service or to a Bible talk event, and we feel overwhelmed. And we're like, man, this is hard. But virtually every time, we leave happy. Like, man, just so glad we went. It was so hard to kind of cross that threshold of getting stuck in and getting involved, but so glad that we did it. You know, in verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, Shalem, son of Halohesh, ruler of the half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. I mean, here's the district ruler of Jerusalem and his daughters helping out with one of the sections. And I know I mentioned it last week, and I'll say it again. I think we have wonderful small group and Bible talk leaders. I was having a look through, you know, just through some of the names and I was just thinking, man, we really are blessed as a church. As I was looking through the different names, and I thought, man, you know, these men and women have a lot on their plate outside of church. And it's one of those things about, being who you are is the people at work, they want you. Because, you know, you're hardworking and you're committed and, you know, what have you. So they're pulling for your time. And you know, the people at church, they want you. Because, you know, you're hardworking and you're good at what you do and what. And, you know, there's just a huge amount of pressure that you feel from all over the place. And I want to tell you and I want to encourage you, you guys are heroes. It is hard, hard work to take on extra people responsibility. And we just want to thank you. And I think, you know, to the teens, okay? I think that last little section, and his daughters, was kind of written for moments like these. Because I think, and this, you know, this obviously goes to the parents as well, is that young and old, we all need to be building. And you know, as much as society and maybe even your parents and maybe even you feel like, but I'm just a kid, okay? You guys are not kids. Okay? Society is trying to say, hey, you're just a kid. You don't have to work hard. You can just chill out. Chilling out is cool. But you guys are not kids. And it's fascinating. I'm lecturing at UCT at the moment. And the people that I'm lecturing and supervising are only a couple of years older than you. And they are in intense, you know, an intense time in their life, and they're wanting to get qualified, and they're wanting to go, you know, into the world and get jobs. And, you know, it is competitive out there. And unless you're willing, as youngsters, to work hard, you're not going to make it. And it's easy, as, you know, to say, hey, well, my parents, they've got a lot, and I'll just become like them. Just ask your parents how hard it was to get to where they are. It is hard work out there. It is competitive. And you know what? The people who make it are not just the smart people. Actually, many of the smart people don't make it. It's the men and the women who work hard. And I see it in front of me every day. And that's you guys in a couple of years' time. And, you know, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, there's Darnell, you know, in high school. And he's there operating the camera on a Sunday. And you know, Mark, I told Mark, where's Mark? Where's Mark sitting? You know, there's Mark at the back. I mean, Mark is just smart. Now, I just like, Mark, untuck your shirt or something. You look too smart. But again, you know, he's in high school, and here he is serving you as a church. And I think it's wonderful. And I think you guys have got wonderful, wonderful families. And it's tempting to say, well, just ask me and I'll do it. But why do you need to be asked? You're old enough to volunteer on your own. Have a look in verse 17. It says there next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites under Rehum, son of Bani. Again, it's just kind of, this whole chapter is just skipping from person to person, just different jobs, different people, not builders. You don't see, here are the bricklayers. And it just goes on in verse 20. Next to him, Baruch, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Next to him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired another section from the entrance of Eliashib's house to the end of it. The repairs next to him were made by the priests from the surrounding region. Section after section, bit by bit, brick by brick. It was their wall, it was their city, and it was their God. They didn't make excuses. They just did what had to be done. And although there's every possible excuse, and you'll see there was a lot more to the story than just what I'm sharing, but in 52 days, they were able to do something that wasn't possible in 80 years because they worked as a team. You know, I've got some other of you to share some thoughts for today's lesson, and we've done it via video. Okay, so we're going to kind of cross over to a video and hear from some of you.
I'm in operations, and that just basically entails ensuring that all the different team leaders within ushering, AV, sound, and worship know exactly what they're doing in every single Sunday service, making sure that I've provided enough for them. I'm currently shadowing Craig and Peter Hutton, and I think, you know, the one guy who really goes above and beyond what I get to see on every Sunday is Peter. He comes in on a Saturday to ensure that the storeroom is packed up, that all the racks are bolted in so that all the teams have enough storage space. He ensures that they know how to manage the storeroom. He ensures that there's enough cables, enough supplies for ushering, for the morning teas and coffee. And I just think it's amazing to serve along someone like that. And in every given Sunday, I get to be part of an operations team that ensures that everybody's fulfilled in serving a church.
Hi, my name is Reinhard. I am the Kids Zone security. What it takes to do this job is not a lot of brain. It's a brawn job. Thank you very much. Be aware. We're checking you.
The name's Don Ominotto. I serve in the AV team with behind the camera. That's the best thing for that. I'm supporting myself to go into graphics. I enjoy the camera just because I enjoy it, and I like to show the church the whole view of what's actually going on. And hopefully you guys enjoy the view that I give to you guys. And yeah, it doesn't take much. It just takes commitment and fun. That's it.
Hi, I'm Ben. I do ushering. And what I think you need to do to have a job well done in ushering is you need to be reliable, I think. You need to be hardworking. And I think just that no job is beneath you.
I need to be speaking about the worship ministry and just what it takes to be a worship leader. I think, first of all, as I've learned from the very beginning, that it's completely up to you or within your capacity of what your relationship is with God, because that is what you're portraying when you're up there on stage. And we are the first face, almost like the church, where everybody is seeing. So we need to be able to set the example of our internal worship, you know, and how we facilitate that to the church.
Hi, my name is Kaya from Tata Church of Christ. We just moved down to Cape Town, and we have just joined the ushering team. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Tandy. As my husband has said, we've just joined Cape Town Church of Christ. I think we just joined also the serving team in ushering. I think that is great, because we feel like we're also a part of serving in God's ministry, and also make us to feel comfortable and also feel the part of serving and loving other people. It's very exciting to welcome people into the church, just to make them to feel welcome, and to feel like they are the part of the meeting we have today. Thank you.
My name is Neil. I'm in ushering, and I'm not only in ushering, I also have the opportunity to open up and lock. So that means I'm the first guy here, and also the last guy to leave. I think it takes a lot of humility to have the job well done. You know, early in the morning, don't feel like waking up, don't feel like getting up, but I think it takes a lot of humility to get up and to... also, when everyone leaves, you just feel like, man, I want to enjoy my Sunday. But I think the fact that you're humble and you remember why you are doing this and for whom you are doing this, I think that makes the job well done.
I'm Lynn, I serve in Kids Zone. I think what it takes to get a job well done is to really put your heart into it and to just enjoy the kids by spending time with them. I get to bond with them, get to know them, and just really, it's just amazing how the kids everyone. Yeah.
Hi, what it takes to be security is, I guess, firstly, you know that you're doing it for the Lord. You want people to be safe and to not worry about anything else while they're enjoying the service. And yeah, I guess it takes a bit of courage, takes a bit of humility. You know, sometimes people look at you a bit strange. But yeah, just to know that you're doing it for the Lord and you're doing it, this is your way of serving God. So that's my motivation.
Keeps me motivated to come back to kids on time after time is the fact that I know I can install moral values in these kids. For me, it's been a while now that I've been serving, and by now I know some of the lessons by heart. But it's great to just know that what somebody else did for my kids, I can do the same for these little four-year-olds. And I love them to bits, and you have to really deny yourself, because sometimes you really just don't have the energy. But I love God, and I really want to keep on doing this for Him.
I remember a time when I was still shadowing, and I was given my first Sunday to manage. And John came up to me and said that someone had broken into one of the cars. I mean, it hadn't really happened, but at that time I didn't know. And I was panicking a bit, but I had to go ensure, you know, have we called the police? Have we notified that church member that their car has been broken into? Where's the registration? Where's the plate number? Let's announce it. Let's put it up. And I think they just wanted to see how I handled the pressure. But thank goodness, that just helped me, you know what to do when there's curveballs being thrown in to each Sunday service.
My name is Pia.
My name is Peter.
And we serve in the worship ministry. All right, I'll go. I think what does it take to be excellent or to give it all to God in worship ministry? I think we'll meet sort of two things. On the one hand, it's hard, definitely hard. I mean, we're not a commercial band on stage. So I think it's important to balance the technical skills with heart. So I think firstly, what does heart mean? It means remembering that it's all for God. We're standing on stage, but it's not about us. We're just there to facilitate the church to bring glory to God because He's our ultimate King. So it takes hard work to keep your heart in place and to remain humble, I guess. Technically, yeah, it takes effort. It takes being at church early on a Sunday morning, one practice per month, and practicing at home. I mean, we can't just rock up and do our thing. So I think it's taking wherever you are at technically and taking that to a next level. I guess like any band member or would do.
Okay, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I think the only additional things I would add would be, on the one hand, you definitely need to be aware that it is there is an element of sacrifice. It's not it doesn't necessarily come easily to have to wake up early in the morning to be at church, to sacrifice a Saturday or a couple of hours every evening to practice, to go through the songs beforehand, to go through Bible scriptures as well, just to prepare your heart. That takes time, it takes effort, it takes a commitment, basically. So it's not necessarily a walk in the park, but it is enjoyable. And the other thing is also, like you said, but I really just want to emphasize it, it does take a lot of practice. It, in as much as to some degree the things that we do are skills, those skills still need to be honed. You still need to put in the time and the effort. You need to go for additional classes if possible, just to get yourself really equipped. You don't want to do a poor job, especially when you're doing something for God. You want to give your absolute best. So that is what I would say it takes to give your all at church and I guess anywhere.
Yeah, I think for me it's just it's that 1 hour that we want to make special. So it's just getting that connection with the kids, learning their names, learning the stuff that they're interested in, and yeah, just chatting with them and getting connection and knowing what they love. So make it special. It's like listening to them as well on their level, see what they're interested in. Yeah, and it's just amazing. You can learn so much from them. It's not we that are learning; it's they teaching us. So yeah, like really enjoying that.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah.
Let's get a job well done.
Amen. Well, I obviously appreciate those of you who did share. You were kind of surprised while the lesson was going on last week. Some cameras were out and about. But, just so clear when you hear everyone sharing just what actually goes in to everything that we do and how really, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. When you look at just people, then you say, okay, well, people are okay, but when you put it together, it's just like, wow, amazing things can happen. Now, have any of you ever played with one of these? Okay, what I've got in my hand is a fake one. Okay, well, not a fake one, but it's a little bit of a ripoff. But it was all I could find. But I spent many years growing up putting these together. Lego is a fascinating company. They make 55 billion of these every year. They're obviously different shapes and sizes, but Lego is obviously a huge company. And the interesting thing about Lego, if you think of just one block, is one block can be made into exactly one shape. Okay, now you can do all kinds of different things with your one block. You can kind of throw it at each other or what have you, but it can only make one shape. And what happens is if you take another block, then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of got some more options and, you know, you can make more shapes. And what happens is if you take one block of Lego and you add another five blocks, any idea how many shapes you can make? Okay, a lot. Okay? Now, if you think of a lot in your mind, are you thinking 950 million shapes? Frightening. If you take six blocks of Lego, all the same color, so not even mixed up colors, and you make... It's going to be a long sermon. You overestimate my Lego ability. But how crazy is that? How crazy is that? That, you know, you take one block and it can make one shape. And you add another five blocks. And all of a sudden, you don't have six shapes, but you have 950 million shapes. And, you know, that's really teamwork, isn't it? How when the team gets together, you're not just adding possibilities, you're multiplying possibilities. And if you think, I mean, you know, here we're talking about, a bunch of Lego blocks, and you think of all the possibilities. Think about how God is able to use us if we'll just allow him to put us together in all kinds of different ways. And to kind of close out, I want to, you know, just leave you with three areas just to think about, okay? I know, you know, most of us in here are working in all kinds of different capacities in church, and I think it's wonderful. I think the first one is the idea of serving. This is a very simple principle, and I think we mostly get it right. But I just want to remind us again. If we all serve, then the workload per person decreases. If we all serve, then the workload per person decreases. And I think, church, it is something that we believe in. And I know many of you have been overworked and some of you underworked over the years. But we believe in recharging. Okay, you cannot work nonstop all the time. But we've got great-hearted people in here and they serve. And hey, there's no one else to replace them, so they keep on serving. And I want to encourage us as a church, let's make sure that everyone gets a chance to have a rest. That has a chance to sit in the service, to be fed instead of, you know, to be feeding. And you know, what that takes is it takes us all chipping in. I mentioned Kids Zone. I appreciate Stephen Swartz. I think he's in Kids Zone at the moment. I didn't see him yet. But, you know, he came to me the other day and he was like, man, this is hard being in Kids Zone. And, you know, he's learning and he's trying to figure out how to do it. And he doesn't necessarily feel like, you know, this is an energy providing fit for him. But he's giving his heart. And because he is there, one of you is able to be here. And it's just such a great heart, and we all need to have that heart. And, you know, I know a number of you, you know, maybe visiting the church or, you know, and you want to get involved. What we have as a church is we've got kind of a set of Bible studies that we like to do with everyone who wants to join us as a, you know, join our fellowship. So, you know, if you want to serve, I want to encourage you, you know, chat to someone, do the Bible studies. And, you know, we can certainly talk about where to sign you up. We're looking for you. No, I'm just teasing. I think the second one is singing. And again, it's, you know, we say this again and you know, as an individual, it's a hard one to kind of grapple with. As a worship leader, you see it. But as an individual, it's so easy to kind of wrapped up with, okay, you know, it's me and it's okay if I miss the first song because I need to have this conversation and what have you. And this morning was wonderful. You know, the church hall was full as we started our singing. But I want to encourage you to keep thinking about the fact that our worship is so much more of a glory to God when we're all here ready to worship at the beginning of the service. And again, as an individual, it's kind of, you think about yourself and hey, you know, church will go on without me, but I want to encourage you. Think of the team. Think of the team and make it here on time for singing. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. Kids and signing in and mornings and, you know, time, you know, but I want to encourage you, think about that. And I think the other thing is your personal contribution. I think there is so much that goes on in this church. And I want to say this, there's so much more that could go on. And I'm not talking about, you know, needing more kids zone teachers and all of that. You know, I'm talking about there's so many other things that could really keep building us as a church if we just had people who are like, hey, I got a free couple of hours. I'll chip in here. It's not a year-long commitment. It's just a couple of hours here and there. I think making videos. You might feel like, man, I have no idea how to make videos. Count me out. But I spent a couple of hours this week on the phone to someone in Johannesburg who's just started to want to make videos for church. And again, it's overwhelming and it's difficult at first, but it can be a lot of fun as well. And it's a great skill to learn. And it's just saying, hey, listen, I don't know, maybe give me one video, a 2-minute video, and show me what to do. But I want to learn. I want to just one for the year will be enough. It's not signing up for the AV or the video team. Just one little contribution. It's designing logos. You know, these are the kinds of things that often fall on the same people. But maybe you've got a creative edge. And you don't need fancy programs. You just need, you know, a little bit of creativity. I think, you know, set design, helping us with our stage and with our props. You know, research. I mean, there's so many wonderful, you know, kind of deep Bible projects that kind of, you know, sit in my mind and in Paul's mind. And, you know, but it leading the church and preparing sermons takes up so much time. Maybe you're interested in that stuff. You're like, hey, James, you know, I just want to work behind the scenes. But you know, what are some projects I can get involved in? I think the office, maybe you've got a job that allows you to be available, you know, for a couple of hours over lunch or in the morning. There's a huge amount of help that you can give, even if it's just a once-off. Say, hey, listen, I'm free this week. I'm off. The kids are at school. Can I come in and, you know, staple or photocopy or just help? Events. We've got a year-end party coming up. Now, you know, when is it? We don't know yet. It's not the end of the year. But you know, how wonderful if you came forward and said, hey, James, I love events. Can I help out and be on the team for the year-end party or for the Bible, you know, the small group leaders party or you know, can our Bible talk help set up at the next event? We can't do it for all the events, but we can do it for the next event. And, you know, we've asked the mums if they'll take the kids so that we can, you know, we can be involved as the men or whatever. I think, you know, there's just so much that you can do. And I want to encourage you, don't kind of box yourself in. As in, this is what I do. You know, open your mind. Make yourself available to God so that he can use you. And I'm going to close out with a scripture here. And this one will come up in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. There they were making this amazing progress because the people worked with all of their heart. Not Nehemiah, not the leader, not the bricklayers. The people worked with all their heart. And you know, this amazing feat of rebuilding the wall in 52 days after 80 years of not being able to do it, it happened because everyone got involved. Whether it's, you know, the high priest and the Levites, whether it's the perfume makers, the goldsmiths, you know, the daughters, the rulers, you know, you name it. And I want you to just continue to imagine how as a fellowship we will continue to grow as we hold to these principles. And, you know, I think we're a church who is known amongst our family of churches for having great servants. And I think it's wonderful. And you know, I want to encourage us to let's keep fighting for that heart. Let's keep fighting for that teamwork that, you know, that, that, you know, that that ability to take us as individuals and multiply our efforts for God in such an amazing way. So amen. I hope you enjoyed the series. Next week, we will not be here. I really want to encourage you, come through for communion at the camp. There's some maps available, but there won't be a service here next Sunday. And we'll be doing something new the week after that. So why don't we bow our heads? Why don't we stand? Let's bow our heads and let's say a prayer before we close out with a song. Let's go to God. Holy Father God, we are your servants in your vineyard, God. And God, each one of us has been gifted in different ways. And God, each one of us, we want to do great, God. We want to have a life of significance and a life that counts. And God, please continue to show us the way. Continue to give us inspiration and insight into where we fit into the bigger picture. But God, help us to be a great team, that we can work together, that we can be the family that you want us to be as we fulfill your purposes. God, we love you so much. We thank you so much for entrusting us with the work that you do. We pray in your son's name. Amen.